Today is Tuesday, December 26th. It's the day after Christmas. I'm going to tell you guys Merry Christmas anyway, though, because it's Christmas time.
You've probably gotten a lot of bad gifts from your family that doesn't understand you.
Christmas time.
And you can consider this the last bad gift and the worst. It's the Level 1 News Christmas edition.
Definitely the worst edition. Because there's no news, because everybody's busy doing other stuff.
And pro behind-the-scenes secret, we're doing this early. So if you're
earlier
like,
than usual.
What about that thing that happened Saturday? How could you not cover that? Well, that's why.
Usually we do news on Sundays, and today is Thursday?
That would be Christmas Eve, so we're doing the news a little early.
I mean, we're devoted. We're not that devoted.
We love you.
Not Christmas Day.
Christmas Eve, even.
We got stuff we got to do. It's just the way it is. You know, I really think that the context of Christmas, like the whole, you know, Santa Claus is bringing your presents. There's something about that that really disturbs me. Like the hair on the back of your neck stands up, because think about it. I mean, if Santa Claus were like, I don't know, a 40-year-old white guy that was real thin and wiry, had maybe like a grease problem, going bald with like thin glasses, and, you know, just sort of creepy looking old white guy that knew everything about you and would break into your house and leave presents for you. I mean, that just seems really creepy.
So you're saying because he's fat, it's okay, though?
Well, he's jolly and fat, and that makes it okay.
You just described a lot of our audience.
Jolly? I don't know how jolly our audience is.
I'm saying like thin white guy with gray hair, knows everything about you because he's been stalking you online.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems to me like Santa is the ultimate stalker.
Well, here's the thing about Christmas. That a lot of, you know how people is like, no, don't say Merry Christmas, because that's not inclusive. Christmas stopped being about Christian values a long time ago. Christmas is about consumerism, and everybody can be a part of that. Consumerism doesn't judge. So if you say you can't celebrate Christmas, you totally can. You just have to care about consuming and buying and impressing people with money and that type of thing, and then you can be right in there with the Christmas spirit.
So. Speaking of impressing people with money, join our Patreon for more behind the scenes footage. And then you'll go out to the bar and everyone else is talking about the cool things they're doing. You're like, I don't want to brag, guys, but I saw some behind the scenes photos that will make your head explode.
Maybe we should make, you know, like those I voted pins. Maybe we should make some like I gave to Level 1 or something pins for, you know, a certain tier.
I don't know. I still think the subtext of the creepy consumerism Christmas is that there is a list somewhere of all of your preferences. And it's going to come back to haunt you. And it's like, it doesn't matter to me if that list is maintained by the NSA or some jolly old guy that lives on the North Pole.
Well, just, okay. Replace Santa with Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah. So, I mean, instantly, Christmas is 1,000 times
like,
creepier.
Imagine waking up to Mark Zuckerberg's face and he's like,
he's like this far away from you. He's just breathing.
I got some toys for you, but I'm going to have to scan your face.
No, I don't think he would say anything. I think it would all just be communicated in his gaze. He would have like those dead glass eyes and he would just be staring into you. I've only ever seen that one time, and that was in the Jason movies, like the original Jason movies where he's wearing the Shatner mask.
They just go poke.
Yeah, and it's just a glass, and he's just leaning over you, and it just has that expressionless look on his face, and it's like, here's your stuff.
That's Halloween, by the way. Don't need your corrections.
Or Halloween, yeah.
So for Zuckerberg Santa Claus, I think instead of leaving out cookies, you leave out your tax records. So you can fill out your financial profile.
It's like, I don't have those yet.
Yeah.
So I'll need those before we do this gift exchange. Well, we're already off track. On to the news. Yeah, so there's a Republican lawmaker that has introduced net neutrality legislation.
In giant quotation marks, net neutrality.
Yeah.
Then you read into it and it's like, wait a minute, that's not what this is.
Well, and it sounds like it's more just, look at me, I care about net neutrality. Hello, fellow kids. Like,
well, yeah, it's a equal parts to that. And no, seriously, Comcast, this is fine. You're going to be fine with this, you know, so... it's a terrible watered down thing, then we don't want this. If you read that and you're like, oh, wow, yeah, let's get behind this. No, you don't want to get behind it.
I think, you know, at the risk of beating a dead horse here, forget everything you know about net neutrality. And it seems like the easiest way to think about this is it okay if you buy a service from Comcast for Comcast to insert itself in the business transaction that is you using what you bought from Comcast for Netflix to deliver you stuff? Like, basically, is it okay for Comcast to charge Netflix for access to you as a customer. That's really what's at stake here.
Well, not just at stake, but that we've lost.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's coming, because ISPs can't, like, everybody already has internet service. So how are they going to sell more internet service to more people? They could charge more, or they could charge other people money for delivering service. But I don't get how it's suddenly okay to charge both people in the equation there. That just seems ridiculous. Anyway, moving right along. Oh, I can't alt tab. Why won't it let me alt tab? Okay, it's fixed. There's going to be a Senate vote to reinstate net neutrality from Schumer. So they're playing this really does strike me as like voter lip service.
Yeah. Wow. Again, it just seems, hello, fellow kids.
Like, well, now this one actually would be good, because this is just totally, so there's this rule, they're called CRCs or something like that. The Senate, if they don't like something that a commission does, a federal commission, they can just undo it. And all it takes is a majority vote. But here's the problem. It has to get through the presidential veto.
Mm.
And we know how Trump feels about this.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
Yeah, it is total lip service. Maybe it gets through the Senate, maybe not. I think the Republicans have a majority. So, you know, if they vote along the party lines, it ain't going to happen.
Exciting, exciting times. In a follow-up this week, remember Kaspersky and how the U.S. government is like, oh my gosh, Kaspersky is not actually real antivirus. It's entirely a wing of the Russian spy operation. Well, I don't think that's really true, but Kaspersky is asking a court to overturn the U.S. government ban on using their software. So it's like, hey, we need some evidence of this.
It turns out they only got like $54,000 from the government. But you can see how being banned by the U.S. government
would be bad for business.
Yeah,
well, yeah, they've already been pulled out of Best Buy, and I'm sure that's one of the other places they make a lot of sales. So
yeah, all the homies, it's like, oh, we can't, we're going to shun this software. It's like,
I don't like their chances, because
that was a hammer.
Because hammering.
It's hammer time.
It's gonna be funny if the compressor's good enough to not catch any of that, and we just seem like we're out of our minds here.
What are they talking about? For once, our audio's good. They don't hear it.
They'll definitely be able to hear it.
But anyway, I don't like Kaspersky's chances. I think we're not gonna win that case.
No, there's not a chance. I think Kaspersky would be better off to rebrand, because that's what McAfee did after McAfee the person came out and went crazy.
Yeah, he's still going a little crazy.
Just a little.
He's made an interesting promise about cryptocurrency.
That he's going to eat his shoe?
Not his shoe.
Kill a couple prostitutes.
Something much more personal and valuable to him than it's, I assume, valuable to him.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I knew that. I remember reading that. That's fine.
I can guess.
If you're in the UK, apparently lawmakers in the UK are watching the public outcry about net neutrality, and they're onto this thing as well, and they decided that 10 megabit broadband should be a legal right. Everybody should have access to 10 megabits to the internet.
Now, the British Telecom lobbied, and it was like, no, seriously, we're gonna spend, like, was it 60 billion or something like that?
Some
obscene amount. We're gonna spend that money. We're gonna get it. We're gonna do everything. Which, of course, if they had seen anything that happened in the United States when our people promised to do that, our ISPs, they said, oh right, yeah, no, we're gonna make this a law.
Yeah, we were promised 45 megabit by 2006. And that's never been materialized.
It's 10 years later. Actually, almost 18 or 12 years later.
Well, it was from 96 to 2006. This 10-year period was when they were going to do that.
So, yeah, if you live in the boondock somewhere and you can't get internet service, although I think they have quite an amount of time to roll this out. So, eventually,
you'll have good internet.
I guarantee you that small business, small town America would have been able to get this done for the dollar figures that are involved, were it not for the bloated bureaucracy of the companies involved. Good luck with that, UK.
This is by 2020, so not too long away.
Terrible. 10 megabit is a pretty modest promise.
Yeah, but you could watch your Netflix.
Two Netflixes, in fact.
You could watch your YouTube.
Is that a Cal reference?
Yes, it was.
I mean, you could do all the normie stuff on the internet, right? You could play RuneScape.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what matters.
As long as your latency was good, yeah. It's like, I have a feeling, though, that a lot of these companies are going to push for wireless deployment, and there's just not enough wireless spectrum for everybody. That really will be a terrible, that'll just be a cluster. That'll be bad. So terrible. How would you like to get a blue alert on your phone? Yeah, it's worse than the black alert in Star Trek. Blue alerts indicate the danger to law enforcement in your area.
Wow, black alert. You wouldn't get away with that these days, would you?
Blue alert. Like, I read this article, and I was like, well, okay. I kept reading it thinking, okay, this is going to be something that is useful to me as a citizen. And the answer is no, it's not, really.
See, here's the thing.
This is how we get Batman.
This is, a blue alert is when there's a danger to the lives of police in your area. What is going to be dangerous to the lives of police that isn't also dangerous to me?
You? Yeah, what are you supposed to do as a civilian? Like, go grab your gun, go out there, and just start shooting.
And this, they had a thing in Baltimore recently where a cop got killed, and they locked down the whole city. And people were like, wow, you're really doing a lot here. And the question is, like, wait a minute. Why wouldn't you do this when anybody gets killed? Like,
lock down an area?
You're basically telling us that cop lives are more valuable? That seems a little weird.
We need to submit a thing to Alex Jones. This is probably more Alex Jones territory, but the app may actually be to get citizens to kill drug addicts as a new way of dealing with the drug problem in America.
Like the Duarte guy from, where is he from?
Vigilante Justice.
No, he's announced to the country. He's like, you need to start killing drug dealers. Yeah.
Approved.
New York has also, it's like, we're going to solve our problems with software. So they've moved to create accountability for algorithms.
They bring up, remember the DNA software thing we covered
last week or a couple weeks ago
or whatever?
Ages.
Where if you are in a crime and you have your DNA and the software analyzes your DNA and says that it's a match with the DNA of the crime scene, how do you know that that's legit?
And it's closed source and they will not let you audit that process. So this is kind of about other things, but this was a big part of it, the DNA stuff.
So... This New York law is about accountability for those situations where those companies must account for it somehow. They don't necessarily have to share their source code, but it does have to be auditable.
And if, with AI doing more and more of the decision making, it's like, hey, you have to prove to us that this AI is like, why are they making these decisions and are they making smart decisions? So I kind of feel like it'll be toothless.
It'll
end up just being manipulated like every other regulatory agency, but we do need some kind of oversight about all this.
An overwatch, if you will.
Do you think we'll ever get to a point where the rest of society just blindly accepts whatever the AI says? It's like, oh, the computer said we should do this. It couldn't possibly be a bug. I mean, I feel like there's episodes of Star Trek about that.
Didn't we get there with TV?
I have friends who don't know how to read like a regular atlas or map. So like if the GPS tells them go here, they will go there and not question it.
Well, there's all those stories. We're already there. There are a lot of stories about people driving into bodies of water.
Because it says turn left.
Like, turn left. And they're like, huh?
All right.
That's what the lady said.
And she sounds so calm and British. And how could she be wrong?
Well, have prison inmates ever ruined a nice thing for you? If you immediately have an example, I can give you one. Many mobile phones that are used very often in prison should be banned for sale. Because it's easy to smuggle them in your butt, I guess.
Your butt.
I didn't even know these existed.
They're so small.
Where's the picture?
You scrolled past it. Go up.
It's a grid.
There you go. Oh. They're very, very tiny. Like, look at the one on the hand. Yeah.
I thought that was an
The
ad.
Hand for scale.
Yeah, like a tube of lip balm is the smallest one. That's how big. So you can imagine. Yeah, you could hide that.
Anywhere you want.
A lot of places. And the guy that's speaking out against it claims that they exist for no other reason than to be smuggled into prison. I mean, I guess you could find a use for these.
Well, they said that there was, like, of all the ones that they confiscated in prison, it was a third of them were the little tiny ones.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
So it was quite a few.
And they are cheap, they're like 30 bucks.
Yeah, 20 to 30 bucks.
I'm imagine how frustrating trying to dial on one of those things would be. You'd have to use a pen or something.
But they can give you a pen in prison that can make them do a shank.
Can you imagine the prison drama where it's like, I gotta make a call? He's like,
pulls it out and starts.
He's called in a hit on his tiny phone.
He's trying to text and keeps hitting the wrong buttons. Damn it.
Does seem weird to just say that nobody can have this because prisoners might use it for wrong things.
How long before drones? It's like, oh, drones keep being used for prison drops at night where, stuff's dropped in the yard. So we need to ban all drones.
I imagine maybe you wouldn't be camping or hiking somewhere where there's service for that phone. But certainly, if you were worried about weight, if you had a lot of gear, a tiny phone might be super useful to you.
A lot of people, though, when they go, myself included, when they take their phone, they're also taking pictures. So,
well, I'm thinking more of a, I'm thinking more of a survival situation.
Dual functionality. You want the camera and the phone.
I can't resist the temptation of taking pictures with my phone when it's on empty, so I need a second phone.
You also camp in a place where there are bathrooms and convenience stores. So
in the convenience store, there is bathrooms. But I go hiking and stuff, too.
What about vending machines? Are there vending machines?
There are not vending machines.
They're missing the boat.
I had a client ask me about that today. Weird. I was like, no, there's not vending machines.
What kind of conversation are you having?
I can't go into specifics, but...
This week in data leak news, 123 million American households have been exposed, which is roughly the entire household population of the U.S.
Yeah, this data was anonymized, but it was so specific in every other field.
Anonymized in quotation marks.
Yeah, so if you knew somebody's address, you could get all this other information about them, and it was a lot. This was, what was the name of the place? They were contracted with somebody, but it was the Experian data. So this was like your credit stuff, and they were talking about, what was it, like so many billion fields out of 123 million people. So you can imagine how many columns are in that database. That's a lot. So this is all the stuff that they use to measure up your credit score and figure out your whether or not you're a good citizen.
Everybody remember to secure your S3 buckets, although S3 was not involved in this particular issue. God, that's so frustrating because nothing will ever happen to any of these people. And we're going to continue to aggregate data like it's going out of style.
Yeah, I mean, it's not just the fact that no one can secure their stupid buckets, but the fact that they are building these giant, giant profiles on us. And that's big business. If you want to talk about, like, somebody's like, no, Facebook is good. It's free. You know, it's like, but
it's good when Santa does it.
But the data, that
he
data
would never
is,
hurt me.
It's so insanely valuable. You have no idea. Well, some of you do, but most, the average person has no idea how valuable that data is and what you're giving away when you sign up for these things.
Speaking of magic technology, Magic Leap was kind of big news. They released it just in time for Christmas. Not really. But this is the mixed reality goggles that we've been hearing about forever. We've reported on this a couple of times, but we tried not to board the hype train too much.
This video.
So
close out of there.
You know, I don't know. It looks a little bit like, you remember Doc Ock from Spider-Man? It looks kind of like Doc Ock glasses.
Yeah, it looks very superhero-ish.
I like the picture of like the prototype where there's wires and stuff sticking out. I was like, that's what Wendell's version would look like. That looks like stuff that we have all over the office right now. The pictures look amazing, though.
They have a cool website. The website scrolls really awesomely.
This is augmented reality, not virtual reality. So you're always looking through the goggles. But as you can see, they add
stuff
other
to
stuff to it. You carry the computer around as a separate module. So I guess you'd maybe put that on your belt or something. I don't know what the battery life would be like.
Probably not very good. It's not mentioned in the article. They did say, like, the guy who tested it said that they brought, like, a robot in his little sort of reality. And he said that he could get closer to it and more details would appear. And he would walk away from it and less details would appear. And he could walk all the way around it. It was totally solid.
I know somebody with a Pixel 2, and they experimented with the Star Wars augmented reality thing on the Pixel 2, and it was mind-blowing how good it was, how just from a camera phone, how it was good about putting the Star Wars stuff in the room, in the environment. It was sort of mind-blowing.
Well, that's what they talk about here as one practical application. Well, practical, quote-unquote, is theme parks, because they built a soundstage where they had fans, and they, like, sprayed water, and had all these, like, the floor actually had debris and stuff, but most of what was going on was the augmented reality. So you're sort of walking through a stage and you could really run into stuff, but some of the stuff wasn't really there. So you go to a theme park, strap on these goggles, stagger through the zombie apocalypse or whatever, or Star Wars, as you say. And that could be entertaining.
It'd be like the Tomb Raider ride at King's Island.
Except you're walking around.
Yeah.
So you can explore at your... And they can put little Easter eggs in there.
Neat.
Stuff you can find.
And then someone gets stabbed.
Somebody gets stabbed and no one has... It's like, it's a room full of people and there are no witnesses.
They're like, oh, wow. They've added actors. Like,
wow,
no, I'm
that's
bleeding
incredible.
Out.
They hit an artery. I'm going to die. Help me.
Is this some sort of interactive theater art piece?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, let me be the medic.
Apple news this week is they're going to do a combined iPhone, iPad, and Mac apps to create one user experience. So the idea here is that you just seamlessly go back and forth in... You have an application running in all three places, and you seamlessly go back and forth between the application. It helps you maintain state between all three devices.
I understand that there's probably different code bases there, but it seems like that's something that should have been there from the start.
Yeah. They mentioned, what was it, Twitter or Instagram or something?
The Twitter, they said, was really crappy because it's not updated at all on Mac, but it's updated for mobile.
So now constantly. The development process is going to be, I guess the transition between touch and mouse and keyboard and the different displays is just going to be handled. Like Apple has some way to handle that for you. Hmm. So, the problem with it is, though, you locked into that stupid app store. And, of course, Microsoft's trying to go that way, too. And that's just that's bad annoying. For everybody.
Do we have the story about Chrome being removed from the app store?
Yes, it's in there.
Out. So that should,
stay tuned.
That should have been the next story, but... Oh, well, it's fine. EU's top court rules that Uber is a transportation company. So this is kind of a follow-up, but kind of new information. We reported a long time ago that I think it started in the UK, and it was like, no, Uber is a regular employer. They're subject to regular employer laws. The drivers are not contractors. There's all these regulations they have to comply with. Well, it's made it all the way to the top court in the EU, and the ruling stands.
It was the taxi drivers that got this started, and they've won. So Uber... If you're an electronic, a media company, that kind of thing, you have much less stringent rules. But now Uber does not count as that. Now, their press release, they say it ain't going to change anything, but it's going to cost them some money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, there it is. Microsoft has removed Google's Chrome for the Windows Store. The reason for this is that Microsoft has a requirement that if your application is going to process HTML and JavaScript and whatever that you use, IE's engine, you don't do it on your own. Now... On the surface, I'm going to say that kind of makes sense because when you have Joe Random Developer trying to implement a JavaScript parser, it's going to end badly. It's going to be a security nightmare. It is not going to be a good situation for security for the end users. If you force people to use known good secure components, basically okay. However, I feel like the Google team should get a pass on this one because they probably know what they're doing.
Probably.
Are you saying that they might have a better product?
Yeah.
Now, the problem here is that because Google cannot put Chrome on the Bing store because of that policy, and there are fake Google Chromes because, of course, people are like,
well, that's easy enough.
Yeah, I should be able to get Google Chrome. That's a popular piece of software, right? I should be able to get that on the Bing store. So these genius Bing posers put their crap on there. So Google was like, all right, let's put up an official app. And it's literally just a link to download Google Chrome.
Yeah.
So Microsoft is kind of snarky and they're saying, this is not add value to the App Store and we will remove it.
The bad thing about this, though, is that even the link version is not an option for like Windows 10S, the versions of Windows that require the apps to come from the App Store. There is no option to install that software at all.
And Google says, we don't think Windows 10S matters. So we don't care. Fine. You can have them.
Oh, that's fun. It's going to be amazing. Facebook is going to use facial recognition to tell you when people upload your picture because it already knows. It already knows.
It does absolutely already know. It'll tell you if you get tagged, but I think this is...
Now, this is without the tags.
Yeah, I know. I think that's... I mean, I hate to say it's like a good thing, but in some ways it is kind of a good thing to know if your picture's being used. But
don't you think it's going to be weird when you get a notification... And it's not you, but it's just somebody that's like, wow, they really do look like me.
Oh, yeah. You're doppelganger from another place.
And then there's probably going to be like some, what was that movie where the guy stole the other guy's identity and like just became, murdered him and became him?
How will polygamists ever do their thing now?
Gattaca.
I don't know. But anyway, there's a movie about that. And can you imagine it's like, oh, I could totally steal that person's life.
Neat.
I think that's the plot of Gattaca, but I don't think he kills him.
We always talk about Tesla and the stuff that's going on with Tesla. This is not really a super interesting story, but Tesla is prohibiting commercial drivers from using its supercharger station. So commercial driver could include somebody that drives for Uber, for example.
Now, you might be thinking, how are they going to know that? Well, Tesla knows everywhere that you've gone. And if they pick up what they call patterns of... doing this kind of thing, like you're, if it looks like you're an Uber driver, you're driving to new places every day, and then like arrive at new place, drop off at new place, arrive at new place, drop off at new place. Then they're going to, you know, they might check you out.
And what if you're just a drug dealer?
Well, that's commercial, right?
Yeah, I guess. What if you're just getting cut in a discount rate?
I don't know.
A holiday discount.
Now, this only counts for people who purchased their Tesla after December 15th. So if you're a Coke dealer, you got your Tesla on December 14th, you're fine.
You're good. Don't worry about it.
So the guy that's doing the cryptocurrency mining is okay?
Now, what do you think? Do you think the resale of the car, do you keep the supercharger status?
I don't know. It would be in the terms of service.
That would be interesting. It's like, would that make those cars higher value?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I can fill up wherever I want.
Twitter has finally made up its mind about different Twitter accounts. And Twitter has suspended white nationalists as it enforces new rules. So I don't know. Again, kind of a non-story because Twitter is a private company. They can do whatever the hell they want.
Yeah, people get real up in arms about Twitter. Apparently, these rules are really
shaky,
specific. No, that's like it's easy to violate this. Basically, it's whatever mood Twitter is in. But apparently they put in a clause that the president is exempt because they were worried that Trump would violate the rules.
I did see that they say you have to tag stuff. This may be sensitive if it's like a strong opinion. And yeah, I was like, that's a little silly.
In the modern world, what isn't?
Yeah. Now, I mean, wouldn't you have to tag all of your tweets at that point?
A picture of Santa Claus.
I thought that was vague.
Right. Santa Claus would trigger people.
Santa Claus is super creepy. I'm telling you. He is probably one of the creepiest. Like, I don't get it.
Like Santa Claus or Krampus? You would pick Krampus?
Well, I mean, I know what the Krampus is up to.
Krampus.
With I don't know.
It's your Midwest coming out.
Yeah. I don't. But with Santa, it's like, is that level of happiness chemically induced? I don't know. There's just something not right there.
It's Christmas magic, man.
Get with the program.
I don't know. Have you not seen like the thing with Rudolph and Santa, where like Rudolph and Santa are reconciling, and then Santa is like, "Oh, I see that you have an exploitable something that I can use. Yes, welcome to the fold." And it's like, you know, had Rudolph's red nose not been glowing.
If it had just been red?
Yeah, if it had just been red, if it had it not been an exploitable thing, I mean, technically.
Yeah, I mean, he would have fed the elves and Mrs. Claus on Christmas Day.
So I just, you know, I don't know. Doesn't make any sense to me. It never
okay, happened. Well, but maybe that's a bad example. But the point is, it's easy to offend anyone these days. So you would have to tag everything. That's what people should do on Twitter. Just start tagging all of your posts.
It's like a picture of a puppy or
possibly
something.
Possibly offensive, yes.
There are definitely trolls that enjoy being fake offended about everything just to gauge people's reaction. And it's like, I'm not trying to be unreasonable. It's just that, you know, it's like, how can anybody be actually really legitimately be offended by Santa? That's the joke. So it's, I don't know. Anyway, Intel. The Intel CEO has made a statement to employees. We are going to take more risks.
Because we're scared of AMD.
Brian Krasnish, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but yeah, so he said that they're going to take more risks. But at the same time, I think he sold like half or close to half of his Intel stock.
It's like, he's taking a risk.
It's like, I'm going to disclose that I'm going to sell half my stock. And by the way, we're going to do more risky things now.
If you read that, they've got this is an internal memo or something. It's just word salad. It's empty, just
word soup.
The most banal crap that you can imagine.
Yes, I would 100% agree with that.
So this is a non-story.
There was one other thing with this that I thought was interesting, and that is Intel. So you got GlobalFoundries and you got Intel, at least as far as the fabrication side of things goes. And not 3 months ago, Intel was saying, no, we think we're going to be able to use copper as our interconnect from now until the foreseeable future. And GlobalFoundries has been using cobalt for like the last two or three generations. And so now Intel's like, you know, when we go to 10 nanometers, we're going to have to do cobalt. And so I think that some of the other like fringe things when they're talking about their process and their fab and what GlobalFoundries has been doing and this, to me, is an admission that Intel is like, oh God, we screwed up bad. And so maybe they're having R&D problems. I don't know. But maybe other people can tell me, maybe other people can help sort of connect the dots there. But it just seems like Intel's behavior of late is schizophrenic at best.
They also talked a lot about data. I mentioned data like 20 different times in that memo. So you get the impression that they're sort of looking at Facebook and Google and they're like, oh, we want some of those bags of money. So I think Intel's going to try to get in that game, but they're getting in real late.
Yeah. In that same memo, wasn't it something like 50% of their income is from their growth sectors or something, is what the guy called it. And 50% is from like PCs and computer stuff. So that's kind of disturbing given, you know, Intel.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's fun. It's something to watch. And if you have some downtime over the holidays, you should do some research and let us know what you figure out, because something's rotten in Denmark. There's an AI system that detects deception in courtroom videos. It reads micro expressions.
We talked about micro expressions. Was it last week? It was recently.
90% accuracy in detecting lies.
But here's the problem, though. The only data set that they've fed this thing,
it's from two university studies.
But it was a group of actors. And the actors were told, okay, lie about this, or okay, tell the truth about this.
How good were the actors as good as we are? Because if so, then it's probably actually accurate.
That be true? I mean, there's like 5-6 people on that list. So, but yeah, so the data is not great. Now, I guess I don't know how available this would be, but if you had the hammering's back, if you had court documents and it was like, no, seriously, we did DNA evidence and that guy definitely killed his wife, you could sort of use him as a lying, right? I guess you don't know exactly what he's lying about.
Yeah.
Other than the, no, I definitely didn't kill my wife.
Totally didn't throw her in a wood chipper.
But
that was not me.
I think that's a promising thing, but to only train it on actors, that's terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, what if you're just a weird guy? I think the weird, like all the weird people set all this kind of stuff off and make everybody like super uncomfortable and nervous.
Like all of us.
Hey, micro-expression AI, was he telling the truth? And it's like, dude, I am just creeped out. I don't even know.
Again, Santa. I'm telling you, Santa. Let's talk about robots. So twin cold spray robots allow GE to 3D print metal parts at unprecedented scale. So these two robots are moving around together. One is printing on the surface, and the other one is moving the print surface around. So rather than have a spray head or something moving in an XY axis, building it up a layer at a time, they're moving the part around and moving the metal around.
I like to imagine that these two arms are constantly yelling at each other. Like, stop moving!
Hold it still!
Just can't hear it.
The incredible thing about this is what you say, cold spray. This is based purely on the speed. Was it, I think, 3 times the speed of sound?
Yeah.
They're blasting little metal particles, and the speed of it welds it into place. So it really is cold. And it's incredible because all that articulation, they can, you know, it will print in any direction. And they have a pretty big, I don't know what the total area they could print, but it's got to be pretty big to look at them.
Yeah. I mean, this is
They look really cool.
It's just mind-blowing, the technology, honestly.
This looks like something you'd see at an art gallery, like two guys just wrapped up in silver and then like waving around in the wind.
Like Times Square.
Yeah.
Performance art in Times Square.
They do have sort of a dancing man.
Yeah, the wacky inflatable tube guy. Which I tried to convince them we needed one for the set, and they said no. So,
well, it would be too loud. That's the only
it
problem.
Would be loud.
No worse than hammering.
Yeah, or drilling, or sawing, or anything else you've heard today.
One thing I would like to see, though, is because this, you know, the GIF is like one frame per second.
Yeah.
But how fast are they actually moving, do you think?
Probably not insanely fast.
Yeah, I'd say it's a pretty slow process.
I don't know. It'd be a lot of fun. You know, if GE really wants to get a lot of press with this, they need to start 3D printing firearms. I mean, PR tip.
Oh, that would be press for sure.
Both negative and positive.
We printed an AR-15 upper in 12 seconds flat. It's like, yes, military contracts tomorrow. Nice. Well, here's a robot that can mix drinks in your hotel room.
Oh, like a Keurig. For alcohol.
A Keurig for alcoholics. Yeah.
You put in like some cranberries and some wheat.
And smash it down in that little cup.
This guy, I think you have to load him up with the alcohol somehow.
Yeah, there's no way.
They have a bigger version that can actually pull bottles off the bar.
Ooh.
But that's like, you put that in, if you own a bar, you lease it, and you have to build the bar around it, basically, because everything has to be in a very specific spot.
I didn't see that
it's
part.
Like the gun-running robot in Fallout. Yeah. It's like they constructed the structure around me.
But the little guy, not so much. Now he
it's kind of cool.
He can slice citrus fruit. So you saw the oranges and the lemons there. And he can mix simple drinks. Again, this is another robot article where the guy was like, now this is never going to replace bartenders. Because bartenders, you know, it's all about your personality. You got to keep people drinking. But I don't think, I think a robot would have a pretty easy time keeping people drinking.
Yeah, I think it might even be better in some cases. Like, you know, because it would be quicker, more efficient.
Yeah.
It would know most of the drinks.
Immediately, I'm going to go to the dark place, which is the AI chatbot is trained to tell people whatever makes them buy the most alcohol.
Well, think about this. Like a guy sits down, he's doing shots, and he's like, oh, AI bot, I lost my job today. And AI bot just pops up unemployment statistics. And he's like, oh, give me another one.
And it's like, what are my chances of getting a job here? It's like, here's another one.
Reply hazy, ask again later. It's like a magic eight ball.
Well, apparently London's Goldsmith University has an annual sex robot convention.
It's only been going on for 2 or 3 years, I think.
But they canceled it this year because of Muslim extremists? or did they just cancel it because it got too popular?
There's a guy in this article, Dr. Levi something. I looked this guy up because I was like, there is no way this guy's a doctor. I cannot find, he's not credentialed anywhere. He just calls himself doctor.
He's a sex robot doctor.
Yeah, and there's him with his waifu.
It's a doctor of sexual robotics.
I was like, sure, what, does he have a degree in something? Not that I can tell. He wrote a book as well about the sexual robot revolution.
Now, this guy thinks, well, we should say this thing, it's still going to happen, but it's at an undisclosed location. So, like, I don't know, how do you know to go to the sex robot convention if it's in an undisclosed location?
It's a
secret.
You have to send the instructions to your waifu.
You got
to
be on the attendees list.
But apparently these terrorists, whatever sect that they're in, they believe that sex with a robot is exactly the same as homosexuality, which is a weird way of looking at it.
It's weird, but
they definitely threatened. Now this guy, but the crazy thing about this guy, he believes and he claims he's working on technology so that robots can have hybrid babies with humans.
And Wendell, you need to go back to the article and show them the picture of the hybrid baby. There it is.
There he is.
that's what everyone's babies are going to look like, everyone.
That's what you want, right?
Yeah.
In your house, in a crib.
Can you imagine that, like, learning to walk and just, like, boom, boom, boom?
I feel like that...
it's like a baby in a mecca.
The stock photography artist was just having a good time with this one, with the stock photo, because...
Well, that might be something our editor would do.
I think that's just a bad Photoshop. I think that's just a regular baby's head.
Yeah, but that's not how that would work anyway. Like, I don't. Like,
well, this guy describes how he's got some kind of technology. The acronym is TNT, and he wants like the robot would carry eggs or sperm, and then they would use this technology. I mean, it's absolutely insane. They ask him how soon.
I don't think he's a doctor.
He said within 100 years, but what he's talking about seems like, you know, the craziest science fiction you've ever heard of.
I think we've already seen how this would play out on Rick and Morty, sadly.
But can you imagine?
Oh, yeah.
Like, let's say you really could do that. At what age do you sit your child down? It's like, no, I decided that I would create a hybrid robot child, and that's why you're in constant pain, and you question your existence every day. Sorry about that. I thought it would be a lot cooler.
Why was I made to feel pain?
So say that the robot child, which is actually a human child.
Is it, though?
I'm gonna say they're mostly human if they're real.
It would have to be a clone. Like, I mean,
yeah.
It would have to be a clone or genetic material from somewhere else carried by a robot surrogate.
Yeah, no, I think his idea is the robot carries
someone
an
else's
egg
stuff
or something. So yes, you would have to get that from somebody.
So
that's just
gonna
be
point?
Somebody else's frozen material.
So so you basically you're just putting someone else's crap in your hollowed out mannequin.
And by embryo, by crap you mean embryo, right?
Yes. But,
yeah.
This is going to be like, so
we don't know.
Even if this happens, it's going to be like the story that you read about where like the guy goes to the sperm bank for like 20 years and then something happens and they figure out that that guy actually has like 2,000 children or something like that. That's what it would be. It's like all the robot children are actually just that one guy that was that was going to the sperm bank.
It just seems like a lot of unnecessary steps when you could have just gone to a surrogate in the first place.
Yeah, but then you don't get to have sex with a robot.
I mean, I guess.
Oh, there's a really freaky humanoid robot that sweats as it does push-ups and also is really bad at playing Bandbidden.
Oh, yeah. Scroll down to the other GIF, though.
Yeah, this one's the best one. It's like,
that's served.
That's what they become.
That's us using the band hammer in the forum. Just
smashing it right into the ground. That's a failure to score, no matter who you're playing against. The one cool thing, there are two cool things about this robot. First of all, its actuators are built with wires as tendons, as if
it's they were like real actual muscles. Human.
So they've been able to sort of copy the muscular system, which, all right, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty neat.
Not, as you can see, not super...
super articulate.
Yeah, he's not that... Now, he can do a pull-up and a push-up, so he supports his own weight, which
more
is...
more than I can do.
Kind of cool. And he really does sweat in a way where he sort of vaporizes liquid to...
He's liquid cooled.
...to get the heat out of the actuators. I don't know how he replenishes. I guess just drinks Powerade.
Yeah, yeah, and then he glows like the neon sweat.
Oh, that's pretty cool. I can't remember the name of it. There's the liquid cooler they always have at really high-end computer shows that's been out for 10 years, but it boils at like 50 degrees C, and they use that as a submersible coolant for machines. That's what he runs on.
You see, that stuff's real expensive, though. Yeah. People will be following him around with cups. It's like, yeah, let me get some of that.
I think a lot of people care about that in the real world.
The people who are at the shows where that thing is? Yes. Absolutely.
For anybody that thinks AI is infallible, I mean, if you watch the show, you know that AI is not infallible. But in the newest chapter of Not Infallible AI, researchers have fooled a Google AI into thinking a rifle was a helicopter. They did this with no knowledge of how the AI algorithm worked. They just looked at where the image classifier failed and then deliberately exploited that. And so their discovery basically is that none of the Google AI that's crawling the internet or whatever is hardened against people deliberately trying to manipulate it.
They call these adversarial examples. Scroll down and show the side-by-side, because it's amazing. There's one that's the guns. Yeah, that one. That's the two images. So, obviously, to the naked eye, those are identical, right? You can't tell the difference. It's just a couple of pixels, and they figure out how to do it, and all of a sudden, AI thinks it's a helicopter. The dust.
My voice is all hoarse, and then there they go, generating more of the song.
At least the dust is not as bad as when we did all this brick. The brick in here.
That was worse.
This was a labor of love. This is a labor of love for you guys. It was so hard. It was so much work.
Although we do have to seal brick in another room. Well, we don't. We hired someone.
It's done.
Is it done already? Wow.
Yeah, it's done.
It took us forever to do this room.
Yeah, it did. And it was painful. It was very painful. A very terrible, painful experience. But it's okay, because we will suffer for you. We will bear that cross for you guys.
And soon, maybe we'll have a robot. But yeah, so image recognition, that's just, it has to be specifically done. But of course, now let's be honest with ourselves. Once 4chan figures out that they can do this,
yeah,
they're going to poison every image set.
It's going to be Tay all over again.
Yeah.
The Twitter bot.
But they remember Microsoft Tay, the racist Twitter robot?
Well, they're going to make it racist, because they're going to take terms that are used as racist terms for groups of people, and then they're going to take a picture of someone from that group of people and make it match that term. So they have to fix this, or you can't ever let the public at this thing.
Good luck handling that, Google.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, there it goes.
Newsweek. Low API cryptocurrency, Loapi. I don't
Is
know
it
how to Loapi?
Loapi.
Loapi.
Loapi might be the best.
Loapi cryptocurrency mining malware is so powerful it can melt your phone.
Loapi.
It's a little misleading. Basically, if your phone gets horribly infected, it's going to peg the CPU all the time, which may be more power demands than the battery can really deal with. And if you do a deep discharge on a lithium ion battery, it will convert its component materials into a gas, which will expand, which will cause your phone to unglue itself and come apart.
Now, this is a kind of malware that you get through an ad. You click an ad. It gives you a URL that's, 99% correct, and it's got that one extra character. You say yes to something, and all of a sudden, it's mining Monero. It also injects ads. It's malware that does basically everything that you could ever not want your phone to do.
More toolbars.
And, yeah, it's going to be real bad for your phone. You'll know if you get it.
Things are real bad in Venezuela. If you're watching in Venezuela, Let us know how it is. I don't imagine anybody's watching in Venezuela right now. It's really bad there.
Well, but it's that. It's a weird kind of like they don't have any food, but they still have electricity and internet. I think.
That's not good. Yeah. But Venezuela is going to force people who are mining Bitcoin to register with the government, which does not seem at all like it will end badly. He said facetiously.
Yeah, they want to tax it. Which okay, fine. We're taxing it, right? Everybody's going to. They're going to get their pound of flesh, so maybe that's bad, maybe it's not. We could argue about taxation all day long. There's no reason to. You got to pay your taxes.
The tax man will come.
But they
yes,
also,
they will.
they want to know where you're mining and what equipment you're using, and like that all has to be kept up to date. It's important to note that in Venezuela, socialist utopia, it's not your electricity. It's the state's electricity. They're just letting you use it. And they don't have to.
You're using it for mining and you're not paying the state back. That is frowned upon. I don't know. We guess. Bitcoin Cash rolled out on Coinbase this week, but then it was immediately turned off because insider trading may have been going on.
Yeah, they claim that they... Now, this seems kind of crazy, but they told all their staff, they're like, all right, guys, listen, we're going to roll out Bitcoin Cash early. Don't tell anybody. And they might have told some people because a lot of people were front running it on other exchanges and it went way up.
Yes, it did. And then Bitcoin Cash and then Coinbase suspended trading. They're going to bring it back soon? ?
Yeah,
it did. It gave back most of those gains. Still doing pretty well though.
Interesting. Bitcoin scammed. This man was arrested after making over $1 million selling Chuck E. Cheese tokens as bitcoins. Yeah.
I don't use the word baller lightly, but...
What was the quote from the article?
It was from a police officer.
Oh, scroll down.
Yeah, scroll down. We'll read it because it's so beautiful.
This is from Officer Michael West of the NYPD. He says, "People are retarded, haha. My 8-year-old son would know those weren't bitcoins. And Lord knows he's not the brightest."
His 8-year-old son's going to really enjoy reading that in 2 or 3 years when he discovers the internet.
Now, this guy had Chuck E. Cheese tokens. He ground them down to get all the Chuck E. Cheese branding off of them. And then with a marker, put a B on them. People bought
them. I'm so impressed. Like, I'm not even mad.
Now, here's the thing about this. We were talking about this earlier. And it was like, wow, how could people be that stupid? But we realized every cryptocurrency story we do, almost everyone, they use this stock photo of a coin. They did physical bitcoins as sort of like a marketing thing.
Yeah.
It has the actual hash printed on the coin. The coin itself doesn't have any value, but it represents your Bitcoin. And so I think people are reading these articles. They don't realize that Bitcoins don't work like that.
Yeah, it's true. Well, and I've had clients like that as well. Where it's like, just find a picture of money. It's like, well,
you want a ruble? You want
But
just public service.
Rupees.
I don't think they sell those physical bitcoins anymore. That was in the early days. So if you're going to buy Bitcoin, don't buy them on the street.
Or from a guy who, you know, looks smug as hell.
Now, this one, I think I missed this one. Bitcoin is big, but Fedcoin is bigger. What the hell is a Fedcoin?
Well, that's interesting. So, of course, we're reading the Washington Post here. Fedcoin doesn't exist. So, how it's bigger, I'm not sure.
Of course.
Washington Post thinks that the Fedcoin is the Federal Reserve's blockchain thing they're working on. So, of course, it's going to be kind of like Bitcoin, except Federal Reserve is going to own it. Now, what they're talking about, if you've heard of quantitative easing, if you haven't, you should look it up because it affected your life horribly. But
would you like to hear a podcast on quantitative easing? Join the Level 1 Patreon. No, I don't know. Can't promise
so,
we'll do that.
Quantitative easing was a thing where it was like, oh, the economy sucks. We should inject money into it.
The QE2 was bad.
That'll be good, right? We'll just dump money into the economy. But you don't dump money into the economy at the Main Street level. You dump money into the economy at the government/Wall Street level. And it doesn't quite trickle down. But anyway, so the great thing about the Fedcoin, they say, is that you can literally dump money into the economy. There's an economist named Milton Friedman, and there's this famous quote where he called helicopter money. If you wanted to stimulate the economy, you would fly helicopters over the cities and drop money. And that's, you know, he was being facetious. But they're saying with Fedcoin, they could literally do that. We want to stimulate the economy. We want to do easing. Just You wake up one day and there's money in your wallet.
It's like a free loot box for the Christmas event.
What did you get? It doesn't look like I even got food stamps this year.
Four duplicates.
But the problem with FedCoin is, of course, controlled by the federal government and everything that goes along with that. So they're basically trying to talk their own book on. It's like, oh, this Bitcoin stuff is scary. Let's let the government control it.
No Medicare for me. I'm going to get this FedCoin thing. It'll be all right.
Yeah, I'm sure that an emergency room visit will only cost 1 billion Fed coins.
Litecoin. So there's a post on Reddit. This is kind of an unusual thing that we do. But this is sort of talking about the relationship between prices of Bitcoin, Litecoin, and some of the other cryptocurrencies.
Well, this is from the Litecoin creator, the main guy. And he is saying, yeah, I sold it all. It got high enough that he felt like if he sold his Litecoin now, he never had to worry about money ever again. So he did it.
Wow.
So he's out.
That's interesting.
Yeah, he claims Litecoin is still the most important thing in his life. He's still going to keep working on it. But in terms of the price fluctuations affecting him anymore, he's out. He's done.
Wow. We say this as Bitcoin has bottomed out around $15,000.
Okay, what about 15?
Yeah.
So good timing.
I like her. I don't know. This savvy dominatrix says she has made 1 million in Bitcoin from her clients.
Of course, this was probably written a couple of days ago. So do you think she sold?
Well, if you know, at most she would have only lost 250,000. So she's still 750K. So that's fine.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of Bitcoin.
Now, I don't understand this subculture. I'm not judging it, but I don't understand it. But this woman is, her job is to humiliate you and force you to give her money.
Like that's her thing.
Yeah, and guys, a lot of guys are into it, and she has a lot of guys. Now, she was smart enough. Apparently, this is a big industry. But she was smart enough. She was like, hey, let's do it in cryptocurrency. She's forced men to build miners so that they're constantly giving her money. And she claims she regularly gets six figures.
Wow.
From guys.
You call that a mining rig? Try harder, pleb.
Look at your tiny mining rig.
The world's such a strange and horrible place.
Now, we should point out that according to this woman, who knows, but there is no sex involved in this transaction. This is just humiliation that is responded to with money. So if you're
I'm sure we're going to get a lot of comments explaining it to us.
It's like Cam Girl, I guess.
If you're a good-looking young gal, you're bad at video games. I mean, I would say do the Twitch thing, but if you're bad at video games, maybe get into the Dominatrix game. Do it for Monero. She's already got Bitcoin locked down.
The Monero Dominatrix. That might be the title of this week's news, The Monero Dominatrix, another million-dollar idea.
Merry from Level Christmas, 1 Tax. Everybody. That's awful. Oh, and there's the saw again.
There's the song. So, celebrating the Dominatrix.
ScumVM 2.0 is out. We just throw this in because some of you may be going insane. If you've watched the news this far, certainly you are very bored. So, hey, ScumVM 2.0 is out, and it supports a whole bunch of, sort of classic games that you can still buy some of these. You may already have some of these in your collection from way back when. These kind of games run great on phones and tablets and stuff like that. They're great time killers. They're very well-written, fun games that you could, like Maniac Mansion and Indiana Jones and stuff like that. ScumVM 2.0 also finally supports King's Quest 7. The last time I messed with ScumVM, it did not do King's Quest 7 correctly. So that's exciting because I can revisit King's Quest 7. That'll be a lot of fun.
Get you through those holiday dinners.
Well, yeah. Except after when this is released, most of them will be over.
Yeah.
Well, there's next year.
We also are going into CES. Now, Level 1 is not going to CES this year, but what do you think we're going to see at CES? Because, I don't know, I feel like the last few years, CES has really kind of gone downhill. There's no real surprises at CES.
More refrigerators.
I know. I think Internet of Things is it's sort of, we're at the downhill part of that, don't you think?
I would think.
Because I think we're going to be looking at a lot of AI.
Self-driving cars.
We're going to be looking at a lot of blockchain, the word blockchain. I forgot to include it, but there was a story. There was a company.
The tea company?
That just, they changed their name. It was the Long Island Tea Company.
Yeah.
They changed their name to the Long Blockchain Company, and their stock went up 200% overnight.
Yeah.
What?
Yes.
It's like the Bitcoin Chuck E. Cheese tokens. It makes perfect sense.
Now, it's not the first small company that's put the word blockchain in their name and just had their stock take off overnight. So there's going to be a lot of talk about that. There's going to be a lot of AI, I think. We might get some more augmented reality stuff. I saw a couple of the new headsets were on the market. But yeah, I don't think Internet of Things is going to be as big.
A lot of consumers don't like Internet of Things. The first generation of consumers that bought into the Internet of Things smart fridges, while those are still rocking Android 2.0, good luck rendering any modern web page.
And I think at this point, even the normies are getting that news. It's like, oh, wow, another wave of devices. Oh, Amazon's locks don't work. Wait, what? And
my Logitech Harmony just quit working. I'm not going to buy another one.
And then the whole Alexa murder cases and stuff like that. So, yeah, hopefully, I might be wrong about this, but hopefully Internet of Things is going to go, it's going to go where 3D TV went and nowhere. Lie down and die.
My mom wanted an Alexa, and I told her about some of the stories we talked about in the news, and then she was like, well, now I don't know if I want one after I ordered it.
It's not really Apple style, but CES would be a good place for Apple to demo some of their new like HomeKit stuff that's coming up, but I don't think they'll do it at CES.
Some people thought it would be cell phones, but again, it's not likely.
That's one of the things they mentioned in the story is CES is sort of being cannibalized because everybody wants to do their own event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
it's like streaming.
I really miss the days when there was the AVN Adult Expo at the same time as CES. They were just right across the street from one another. So it was like, here's all the cutting edge technology. Here's how we're using all of the cutting edge technology in the porn industry.
Here's what's driving all the cutting edge technology.
Well, I mean, augmented reality, VR headsets, these kinds of things. I mean, but unfortunately, that kind of thing is later in the month. Now, I guess, so.
You know what they should do? Now that that's over with, they should try to combo up with the sex robot convention or whatever it was.
So we'll have CES.
Dr. Lenny or Levi.
And then the sex robot convention with AVN. Yeah, I mean, Vegas would be the place to have that. It doesn't need to be at whatever university that was in the UK. It should be in Vegas.
Do you think so we had the like Uber in the UK and the taxi drivers, you know, they were up in arms and they went after them. Do you think you'd get that situation with the legal Vegas prostitutes and the sex robots? Because that's going to destroy some jobs, right?
The Uber of prostitution.
I'm imagining
$1 million app idea.
I'm imagining like a reality show scene where like the two girls are at a bar and they're fighting, but the robot's just sitting there dead while the woman just wails on it. Like, what'd you call me?
All of them have had a little bit too much alcohol. Google's come up with the year in search 2017, and they see what was trending in 2017.
Matt Lauer on a lot of these lists.
Kevin Spacey, Harvey Weinstein. Now, we were talking about this before as well. I didn't know Meghan Markle.
She's an actress and also the fiance of Prince Harry of England.
I Googled her. I added my vote too late because I Googled her after the list was out. Didn't know Nadia Taffa.
She's an Italian journalist. I had to look her up.
We're not sure why she's famous.
Journalism's still a thing. The Fox News is in Harvey Weinstein.
Her Wikipedia page was in Italian. I couldn't figure out why she was popular.
Bill Skarsgård. Anybody? No? Las Vegas shooting, I remember.
Unfortunately, that's a sad one.
The iPhone 8 and iPhone 10 were
that,
the most...
How sad is that tech list? Like, that's what people care
about. It's all phones,
about.
Yeah.
This is just... I weep for society.
How to make slime? What? Why would that be the number one how to make search?
How to buy Bitcoin is number 3.
How? What? People are making slime across the globe?
I can't believe How is Babby Formed is not on that list.
Okay, we have to go to that list individually. How to freeze your credit.
I understand that one.
Well, how to freeze your credit is just right above How to Play Powerball. I mean, one of these things is not like the other.
How to make a fidget spinner, that's critical.
And then how to buy Bitcoin.
But how to make slime? What are people using slime for?
Maybe it was the Nickelodeon teen show. Maybe the secret sauce recipe was lost.
I don't recognize this meme.
Oh, that's the girl from
Catch Dr. Me Outside. Yeah, I know that one. It's popular in Australia.
Wow.
That's crazy because she's American. Australians
love it. But she's got an attitude. I think Australians like more.
She released a rap album.
Wow.
It was pretty bad. I listened to it.
She was one of those like scared, like my daughter's too crazy episodes.
Yeah.
And Catch Me Outside is Catch Me Outside.
Catch Me Outside, how about that?
She wanted to fight Dr. Phil.
Yeah. Which, I don't know, I think she could take Dr. Phil.
I would love to see that.
I think she could take him.
I wish one of us could do a Dr. Phil impersonation right now so we could say, well, it's like, you know what your problem is.
All superhero movies. All but It. No, I guess Beauty and the Beast is not a superhero.
It's kind of a superhero.
The Beast is kind of a superhero.
If you don't like child protagonists in movies, It is kind of a superhero.
I mean. All, like, totally sci-fi fantasy stuff. No drama in the big movies, which is telling.
People just want to turn their brain off and not really worry about it anymore.
Dunkirk wasn't on that list. So that was the only movie I saw this year that I really liked.
Well, TV shows. Wow, Stranger Things. I bet Netflix is rolling in the money then.
Wow, Stranger Things beat Game of Thrones.
Wow.
That's incredible.
I haven't watched Stranger Things, but everyone keeps telling me to watch it.
Maybe all the Game of Thrones fans use DuckDuckGo.
Maybe they're all Yahoo search users.
That would be interesting. That would be really interesting because there are definitely demographic differences between the people that use Bing, for example, and the people that use Google. That was a study somebody actually did.
I think it's probably mostly old people.
So I don't know. And then finally, we have our last story of the evening. Krista, are you going to give us the lead-in for this?
Beetle penises may hold clues for better medical devices. Now, the first time I read this, I read it as battle penises. I was like, what?
Excuse me? Is that like battle toads?
I don't know. I don't know. This article, this is like a non-story. So they're trying to improve catheters. And this beetle apparently has a very long penis.
I disagree that this is a non-story. Now, the medical breakthroughs and whatever, I don't care about. But to learn that the female, the beetle vagina, it's like a maze.
This particular breed.
It's like you have to, you know, it's got twists and turns. And also, the other fact is, the beetle penis is longer than the beetle. Imagine that.
I love the doctor they interviewed in this. Because I think it was, I'm not sure, I think it was like a Japanese doctor. I think there was a language barrier there. And she's just very matter of fact. She's like, yes, I study many beetle penises. And like, there's no, like, she laughed after she said that. I don't know if it's just lost in the text, but she's just very... this is what I do.
No, the more disturbing one there was it was she was sort of joking about it as like, you know, haha, I killed the beetle by removing its penis, ha ha ha.
Yeah, I killed it.
Unfortunately for them, yeah, that was the quote. But yeah, so the thing about it is this beetle penis is so the idea is like imagine a straw, right? If you try to bend the straw, you get a kink and fluids won't go through it. Well, the beetle penis is ideal for this type of thing.
They're trying to make a better catheter.
And they're making catheters, which is...
You know, trying to get a small tube in a very difficult place. Very
that
bad.
Won't kink up or mess up.
So, yeah, they're thinking that the beetle penis is the way to go.
But I just don't... I seem like this might be wasted research. Maybe I'm wrong.
But
it seems like, what can you learn? What if it's made out of some sort of special material? We can't get enough.
It turns out that it is actually super complicated.
Yeah, it turns out it's like flexible in some spots, but not all spots, which allows it to stay somewhat rigid. So the amazingness of nature. Now, here's the thing, though. You got this beetle penis, and it's like navigating this cavern. How quickly can that...
How does it know?
It's like, what if you're cheating on your beetle husband and your lover has to quickly withdraw and escape? Like, that ain't gonna happen in the beetle world.
Seek out the lie.
Beetles are deeply monogamous.
But only for this reason.
There wasn't really a lot of news this week, as you might have guessed. So,
and we had to do this early, so it's a shortened week. And I think we're going to get right at an hour out of it, which is incredible.
Yeah, we were like, this will be really short. Our poor editors here waiting.
To mention just full construction going on in the background. So this is going to be a quality episode.
We love you guys. come visit us in the forum and say hi or whatever.
Merry Christmas.
Do we have... Is this the last one of 2017?
I don't know. Let's check the calendar.
We'll film one before the end of the year. But they won't see it.
I won't be here, yeah.
Yeah, this is the last episode of 2017.
We'll see you guys next year. Ryan loves that joke. If you guys really want to trigger Ryan, make that joke in the comments over and over.
Oh, yeah. That joke is really terrible. It's worse than have a nice trip, see you next fall, when you actually trip over something.
All right.
Good thing we got that one out.
Yeah.
See. All right.
I like that the news ends in just vicious hammering. Vicious hammering. You know who can't do vicious hammering? This beetle. It's too complicated.
Or that badminton robot.
He would be a terrible sex robot. Can you imagine? He's just fumbling around, certainly, sweating all over you.
Certainly lacks the mechanical dexterity. That's
Anyway.
See you guys.
Merry Christmas.